The Bible reading is from Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. It's on page 1032 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus calls his first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Well, it's good to be with you and open up the scriptures. A good thing about our church is it's famous for John Wycliffe, who translated the Bible into English. But I think having three Bibles in the pulpit is probably a bit more than we need, so I'm just going to get rid of two of them. Luke. See, what's quite good is that as the scriptures are read, it can often be very helpful, perhaps just to listen or to even close your eyes, because a lot of times the words can be familiar to us if we've been in church for any length of time, and so we just need to pay that extra attention. But I think particularly as the preacher begins to open up and open up the word, it's really worth having it there so you can make sure that I'm not talking complete and utter rubbish. As Rosemary said, we are beginning a new series, and the term card has just been published that says what's happening between now and Easter. Please do take a copy of that. It also explains about our service pattern. And the idea is that we have here as our benefice of Lutterworth, Coates, Batch and Bitterswell. On a normal Sunday, we have five services. And those five services are also slightly different styles for different groups of people. And once a month, on the first Sunday of the month, we will all be together, usually here in Lutterworth at 10:30. So it just requires a little bit of kind of keeping an eye on the diary, but that term card should make things really clear. We'd also like to really be encouraging people to be reading ahead in the Gospel of Luke. Luke is a biography of Jesus Christ, written by a Dr. Luke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as we read it, we read his kind of digestion of all the different eyewitness accounts. He wrote it where there were still people alive who'd seen these things happen. And he'd spent time with them, and he's done some careful investigation. And at the beginning of his gospel, he says, "I wanted to write down an orderly account for you so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught." So what we're doing is we're trying to cut through a lot of the tradition, and we're trying to zoom right in on who Jesus is and what he actually said and the difference that made in people's lives. So if you'll turn with me to Luke and chapter 5 on page 1, looking at being a disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple? You see, Christmas was all about Jesus' arrival, his advent. And he comes, and angels and dreams, and they all point the way to this Jesus. And remember, the angels say on the hill to those shepherds, "Today is born in the town of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." And the rest of the Gospel, the rest of Luke's Saviour and Lord. But he's not just Saviour and Lord in some out there way, and I don't just want to fill your heads with some more interesting information. It is that in meeting this Jesus, who is both Saviour and Lord, we find ourselves transformed. That's why we're running courses called Encounters, looking at the different people who met Jesus and the difference it made. And that's why today we're going to begin our journey in Luke in chapter 5. And as we look at this particular story, I want us to look particularly at Simon, who later becomes known as Peter. Simon Peter. Peter is, I think, he's a great example for us. If you're one of those people who always gets it wrong, maybe every time you open your mouth, you put your foot in it. Maybe you're one of those people who doesn't matter really what the situation is, but you're going to say the wrong thing. Or you know that, then you will find Simon Peter a great example to you. The fact that he's included, and not just included in some sort of half-hearted way, it is that he's called from out there, and he's called right in. He actually becomes the leader of the apostles and the first bishop of Rome. This person just, and as you follow in the story, not only does he always say the wrong thing, he normally does the wrong thing. In fact, he makes almost every possible mistake along the way. So hopefully it'll be a real comfort to us who make our own small mistakes. The other thing that Peter is that he's a very ordinary person. Probably inherited his fishing business from his father. That would have been the normal thing. And he's from the north. And he's a good kind of working class lad, maybe small business owner. So he's got something about him. He's got some skills. But he's not some sort of holier-than-thou kind of floating around the place in a cassock and surplice kind of chap. He's not got more letters after his name than you need in the alphabet. This is an ordinary guy, in fact, a guy who makes lots of mistakes, who's called from out there and put right at the center of the church's story. And so I hope as you look at him, you'll think, you know what? If Simon Peter is involved, is included, is welcomed and even useful in this kingdom to this Savior and King, maybe I am too. So where do we first meet Simon in our story? One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. The first time we see Peter here, he's been working all night. So the fishermen would have got out at night, as they usually still do. Normally, especially in that climate, it would be a bit cooler, so the fish might well come towards the surface of the water. This is the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, at the same place, called by different names. And they've been working all night. Working all night, and what happens? Well, there they are, just sort of clearing up, cleaning the nets, mending the nets, getting everything ready for the next night, so they can go home and have a bit of a sleep. And there's a preacher. Somebody starts preaching. That might be your feeling today. You might have just come off a night shift and thought, oh, I really don't feel like church. I really don't feel like listening to a sermon this morning. I can't imagine working or children or traveling. The last thing you feel like is listening to the word of God. They're busy, distracted even. But this crowd gathers and they gather around this preacher. Busy lives, Jesus is there. And so we first meet him busy, and then we see that actually he becomes part of the crowd. Did you see that? The people were crowding around Jesus and listening to the word of God. Can you imagine that? It's not something we often see now. In fact, the last time we really saw this happen in the UK was when Billy Graham first did his crusade, and crowds went out to meet him. There was one point, actually, where he was up in Keswick, and he was preaching up in Keswick, and the police recommended that he didn't go and preach that evening because they couldn't guarantee his safety. And that's what Jesus was like. People were flocking towards him. And it's happened in various times over our history. Think of the Wesleys and Whitfield, the beginning of the Methodist revival, and how they weren't allowed to preach in church because Anglicans didn't like them coming onto their patch. So they preach in the fields, and people would flock out to go and listen, listening to the word of God. But, you know, we don't really expect that here. In fact, the only two times in the year where this church is really packed, where every seat is used and standing room only, is usually Remembrance Sunday and the crib service on Christmas Eve. And arguably, people don't really come on those occasions for the word of God. They come for the occasion and the tradition. But here people were flocking out to hear Jesus. In fact, we do see this even today in other parts of the world. In other parts of the world, people will flock to come and listen. People will be devouring the scriptures. There aren't enough Bibles to go round. You know, we've got a bookstall here, and every so often a couple of books are taken, bought, and read. What's been very encouraging, you know what I say? Praise God. I want them all falling apart by the end of the year, all right? But we don't see that kind of passion and zeal normally in our country. And yet here I get this sort of image of Jesus there, and he's preaching, and the people gather, and as they gather around, they're kind of squashing him, and he keeps taking a sort of step back to try and get a bit of air. And as he steps back, he's running out of beach. He's sort of up right on, and then he says, oh, I know what I'll do. So he asks Simon, he gets into Simon's boat and sits down. He sits down in Simon's boat, sits down to preach. That's what they would have done those days. In fact, I've decided it's a rather good idea, actually. If you all had to stand and I got to sit, then I could preach a lot longer without getting tired, and you wouldn't fall asleep. I think it would work really well. But suddenly there goes from Peter being part of the crowd to this personal interaction. The first thing is, you know, can I borrow your boat as a pulpit? Well, yeah, I mean, I'm here, I'm mending my nets, I'm sort of, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying. Okay. But then there's something else. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Suddenly it goes to something more significant. Peter, I'm actually asking something of you. I need you to do something. And I wonder if Simon Peter was there going, I think all this success as a preacher has gone to your head, you know, Jesus. Because, you know, crowds might be flocking to hear you preach, but I'm not sure it's a transferable skill to fishing. I mean, what skills do you learn in preaching? Public speaking, logic, rhetoric, linguistic gifts of creativity and explanation? I'm not sure that's going to work on the mackerel. But what does he say? He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. You know, Jesus, the time to go fishing, I'm sorry, I had to break it to you. I actually know what I'm doing here, and the time to go fishing is at night, and they're not biting. We've been out there all night, and we haven't caught a thing. And frankly, I'm not. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. He's been part of the crowd. He's been part of the crowd, he's been included, but he's begun to connect, perhaps, with something that Jesus is saying. It's almost like the word of God that's been preached has hooked him in some way. And he says, you know what, because you say so, then I'll give it a shot. This might be you today. You might find that you live a very busy life. You don't make it to church very often. But as you come, you kind of come as part of the crowd. That might well have been the experience of lots of people over Christmas. You know, we're not really here for the whole God stuff, but it's come out of the tradition of Christmas. The children dress up, isn't it sweet? Got to go to a carol service at Christmas. Part of the crowd. But then maybe the word of God just began to hook you. Maybe you've known that in the lives of friends. And people have just, they've seen something and they've just begun to ask questions. Just hooked a little, drawn in. And maybe this person of Jesus, as you hear him speak, begins to convince you of something. And Peter here goes from somebody really quite disconnected with the story to suddenly being convinced, drawn in. He says, okay, because you say it, I'll do it. And off they push out. When they had done so, they push out, they let down the nets. When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Now, I'm aware that we live pretty much as far away from the sea as we possibly could. Maybe made of a fishing expertise in the room. And I don't have a lot myself. But I don't know, and I don't know if you do, how many fish you need to have in nets for them to break. Because you make the nets, they're designed to hold the fish. So this must have been a lot of fish. In fact, there's so many, as the nets begin to break, that you can imagine them sort of heaving it in, and the boats begin to kind of rock back and forward. They call to their friends, James, John, you know, they're partners in the business. And say, come over and help us. And they came, and they filled both boats, so they began to sink. That is astonishing. Two fishing boats, are so full of fish that they can barely stay afloat. And what would you do with that? When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. He realizes that he is in the presence of greatness. He realizes that this is not someone you can trifle with. This is not just somebody who says some interesting and witty and useful things by the beach. In fact, the words he uses are words you find elsewhere in the Bible, where people recognize that they are in the presence of God. So you think back to Isaiah 6, if you know it. And Isaiah, young, up-and-coming kind of prophet, priest, he's in the temple, and he gets this vision of the Lord, enthroned, on high, dazzling. And he says, Lord, stay away from me. Woe to me. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. You know, Lord, I realize that I'm in the presence of God and that I'm not worthy. Playing the saxophone. I used to be in a little jazz group. I now don't play the saxophone anymore because if you've been here when Steve has been playing, you know that if you sing him a song, he just plays it amazingly and he then does some super duper harmony with the tune. It's, you know, you do instruments in church. Oh, great idea. What do you play? Well, I don't want to tell them I play the saxophone. Because if I play the saxophone, I'm there playing, you know, Three Blind Mice. And along comes Steve. I look like a right Muppet. And it's a little bit like this here. Peter thinks, you know, I'm a working class lad. I'm doing well. I'm working hard. I'm providing for my family. You know, I know what I'm doing. But along comes Jesus. And Jesus is even better at fishing than he is, let alone all the other stuff. You know, we might think that we are, you know, pretty decent people. We're all right, thanks very much. Yeah, we've got our failings, we've got our flaws. But, you know, we're nice people. I go to church after all. Until we realize we're in the presence of God. And you know what? Everything that's good about you pales into insignificance in comparison with what is so amazing about him. So pure, so holy, so loving and kind, so truthful and just. And as Simon Peter realizes who's in his boat, he says, get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. They've seen a miracle. And they are astonished, not just at the fish, but at the one who provided the fish. And as they quake in terror, wondering whether they should just jump in the water and swim away from this man who is God, Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. The same messengers of God come to sinful people, they say, do not be afraid. And so finally, Peter goes from an outsider only vaguely kind of connected, listening in, maybe half an ear, drawn in and involved, and now actually, through his hand, sees an amazing miracle come to pass. But now he's actually given something new. Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. He says, now on, I'm going to change your whole career. I mean, what do you think Peter was thinking as he was drawing these fish in? He's thinking, brilliant, I've got to open a fish and chip shop. Or I've got to go global. I've got to start an export business if I'm going to get this many fish. I wonder how much Jesus charges for a consultancy. Maybe I can get him with me in the boat every day because my business is on the up. No, he's there terrified. He looks. And he says, look, I'm not just here to enhance your life, to make you a slightly better fisherman. I'm here to call you to a new thing. From now on, you're going to fish for people. And in fact, here, the word isn't just fish, as in, from now on, you're going to spend the rest of your life sitting on the bank of a canal with a rod, pretending you're doing something. No, the word here is catch. From now on, actually, you're going to be gathering in people. I'm not just going to send you out there with nets and a rod, or metaphorically. No, I'm going to send you out there to gather them in. And the boats that you have, they're not going to be filled with fish, but with people. You see, this is what Jesus does. This is the impact that his greatness has on those that he calls. They go from sort of passers-by, outsiders, observers, right into the core. And so it is Simon Peter, this ordinary guy who can never seem to do or say the right thing, is drawn right in and is given this church with people. Jesus comes, Savior and Lord. And he comes to save people by his word and to rule by his word. Then we're all called into this mission. This is the mission of the church, to be fishers of men, to get out into the world and to gather people in, to tell them about who Jesus is. And in God's wonderful grace, he allows us to fill the boats. And for some of us, that will mean leaving everything and going somewhere else. That's what it meant for Peter and for James and John. When Jesus said to them at another time, follow me, they left their father Zebedee in the boat and off they went. For some of us, that's what it'll mean. For some in the church, the wider church, it'll mean people moving, going. It's meant that now, as a son of a minister, and now as a minister myself, I've never lived in a place more than 5 years until now. Because you're called somewhere new. It means for some people, selling up everything you've got, learning another language and going somewhere else. And that's why we have two mission partners. We have the Milsons in Spain and the Moody's in Africa, in Uganda and Sudan. And we'll be hearing, actually, at the end of February, as Andrew comes to visit us. Some people are called to leave everything and go, to learn new languages, and to go to unreached people with the gospel. And some of us are just called, actually, not to go very far, but to step out of our comfort zone, to begin to let Jesus reshape our lives. You see, the presence of greatness turns us from kind of observers into those who are involved, who are core, who are called to be part of gathering and building the church, of seeing people come under the Lord and King. As we begin our series, will you see who Jesus is, as Simon Peter did? Will you be aware of his greatness? And will you be willing to join him in the wonderful mission? Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the impact that you had on so many people. Help us to be hungry, as that crowd were, for your word, for the word of God. And help us to be those who will go out and be involved in the mission, a rescue mission of bringing people to know Christ. Amen.